Welcome to the But Here We Go podcast, coming at you from But Here We Go Studios in Dallas, Texas. The day's date is December 3rd, 2023. Welcome.
It's like
welcome.
A proof of life. This is what I like to call material light because we have plans, and so this is going to be short. And by short, I mean it's going to be like 30 minutes as opposed to like an hour and a half, which I don't think we've ever had an hour and a half.
We haven't had super long podcasts, but we are still going to sit here and talk, and we're going to have conversation,
right, and we're going
to entertain our guests and listeners and viewers. We don't have any guests here right now, but but everybody who listens, I mean, kind of feel like they are our guests.
Right.
Well, they're guests into our lives and into our thoughts.
Right, because there are a few people who listen to this podcast who I see fairly often, and I often have to catch myself because I'll start talking about something because it's on my mind, but then I'll have to be like, wait a minute, have you listened to the podcast? Because have you already heard me talk about this, or can I talk about this? And then I have to like, I'm finding I'm repeating myself is all I'm saying, but it's only with a couple people.
Yep. Yep. I hear you.
Do you have anything to talk about? Because I have two things to talk about.
I do have something exciting.
What do you have to talk about?
Now, I've already talked about it with you and on my podcast, although it'll be coming out, I think, in 2 weeks, my podcast, where I talk about it.
Okay.
So this will be
like a sneak preview.
Yeah, sneak preview, but it's actually kind of old. This is coming from early November, and it is Unilever to share reformulation patents to tackle emissions. So what they are doing, they are sharing publicly, freely accessible patents on their ice cream formulations.
Oh, I remember the ice cream.
So that they can increase the temperature of the freezers and still have their ice cream hold its shape, meaning solid.
Sorry, but you said Unilever?
Yeah.
That's like the
Unilever.
Parent company.
So Unilever.
You told me it was a different company.
Unilever is the parent company.
Oh,
the thing I read first, I think it's Ben & Jerry's.
Oh, that's very on brand for Ben & Jerry's.
Here it does not. In Unilever, and I'm sure somebody right now is like yelling at their
phone.
That
is Unilever.
Is it Unilever? Unilever? I don't know or care.
Truthfully, it's a name I've never said out loud. I just read it.
Yeah. Feel free to write in and comment. Tell us what and how to pronounce that. And I'm going to keep pronouncing it Unilever either way.
Right.
So,
but just
do write in.
To translate your fancy talk into dumb talk for people like me to understand, what you're saying is they have worked for years to develop an ice cream recipe that requires freezing temperatures, or I guess
it requires
to be higher than what they are currently.
So now the freezer temperature can be kept at a balmy 10 degrees Fahrenheit as opposed to 0 degrees Fahrenheit.
Right. Which, and why this is important is that that is less energy being used to keep it that colder temperatures.
Yeah.
So this is better for the environment. And what Ben & Jerry's /Unilever/Unilever is doing is they are allowing people to use their technology for free in hopes that it would be better for the environment instead of hoarding it and being the Rockefellers.
Yeah. Now, there's a few different things. To comment on the actual numbers, it's 25% decrease in in energy usage. These are pilots that were done in Germany.
Wow.
So there's a significant opportunity there.
I mean, because like there's a lot of ice cream.
Yeah. Now, I appreciate you laying out this nice rosy colored,
it looks
so great. They're being so environmentally friendly. Here is my take on it. I agree with everything you said, and everything you're saying is absolutely true. It is all better for the environment. And if everybody gets on board, this is great. I think they're doing it because when you walk into the ice cream aisle, there are so many ice creams there.
Oh, so that they'll melt.
No.
Well, but they will.
If people don't use these new reformulations.
Right.
And if the ice cream, if the grocery stores say, hey, we're going to keep these at 10 Fahrenheit from now on because we can save money. So you all have to get on board. Like the grocery stores could do that. I see it as Unilever saying, we have figured this out. It will save us money. We want everybody to get on board so that we can save our money.
Right. I guess I was thinking just in like the ice cream delivery trucks, but you're saying Ooh. It's not only just the delivery trucks, it also has the potential to be grocery stores.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow. Basically anywhere in any part of that supply chain.
Wow.
So, yeah, I think delivery trucks, obviously, they are going to have their own delivery trucks.
Right.
But in order to get something like a grocery store to be able to do it, I think you have to have all companies on board.
Right.
Now, right. I need to drop a dollop out because what's going to happen to Bluebell? Is Bluebell going to have to change their reformulations?
My question is it going to change the flavor and the consistency?
Yeah. Well, I would assume no. Not in a noticeable way, because otherwise they wouldn't. They've been doing this, and they no wouldn't release anything. A sub.
Here's
product.
The thing with energy savings things. I think if it is proven to save them money, they will be more likely to convert. You know, because if unfortunately, the main driver is not like what is better for the environment, but cutting 20% of your energy. That is a significant cost reduction for sure.
Yeah.
And inflation's been crazy. So I can only imagine that would be a driving point.
And I would think if you have a lower quality product and you have less sales, then you're not going to do that.
Right.
So they see the potential for savings with the assumption that they're going to have the same sales.
Well, because like how much money would it cost for like R&D they have like the technology from the patent or whatever, but still they're gonna have to spend money on like,
well, I think they've been doing all of that.
No, I'm talking about like Bluebell and other companies.
Oh yeah, they'll
like
have that.
It's good. It's not like they can just like,
yeah,
you know, take the formula and boom, there you go. They're gonna have to figure it out.
They'll have to do some playing.
Right. Way to go, Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, hey, good for them.
Are Ben and Jerry still alive? They are, right?
I started to get into a bit of a dive on all of that when I was looking this up. The answer is I don't know. My answer is I don't know.
They are indeed alive.
Yeah. Do they know Jerry Garcia? Can you find that out?
Jerry Garcia?
Yeah, because they have a flavor called Cherry Maraschino or something like that. Because it's a play on Jerry Garcia from The Grateful Dead, I think.
It's a tribute to the guitarist Jerry Garcia and the Grateful Dead fans everywhere. I think they were just deadheads or whatever they're called.
It's just they chose a flavor or an ingredient that rhymed with Jerry.
Right. Okay, for the sake of time, I'm going to give you the option of what we talk about.
What time is it? We got time.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
So we watched this documentary on HBO Max, and I feel like I have been telling literally everybody about it, called Love is One, God is Mother. You didn't watch the full thing with me. You just watched half of it with me?
No, I think I watched most of it.
It's insanity. But I, after finishing the documentary and discovering that they are still a cult and are still putting out, because they do a lot on the internet, I was like, I want to go to their website.
Why did you do that?
I mean, I just was curious to know like how.
But are they still a fully functioning cult? Because the way that the epilogue made it sound.
Right.
It made it look like most of the people went their separate ways, but are still doing new agey kind of stuff.
They're still, based on like the previous episodes, they're like a weekly, if not bi-weekly episodes.
Yeah.
I saw like at least 4 to 5 of the people that we saw in the documentary. So like of the main crew. So like they're still doing this. Like this is their main gig. So anyway, so I'm on their website. I'm just trying to like, you know, read their mission statement, check whatever. And then I figure out, oh yeah, because they said that they had charities that they supported. And I was just really interested to know like what, because like if you're reading it, it's so innocuous. I mean, obviously there's like the new age mumbo jumbo or whatever, but they sound very legit, almost church-like, right? So I was just almost curious.
Loving.
It was almost like I was at like a normal church's website with the same, like, this is our belief statement, this is our missions or whatever. So I was like, I'm curious to know what their missions are, right? Long story short, they support a elementary school children's curriculum organization, basically, like almost like it's a homeschool,
yeah,
for this cult's view, okay, of life. And I was like, fascinating. So I go to it. Website's a little bit more sketch, but they have, and I have pulled up right now, their curriculum
for free.
For free. It's a PDF. I have it currently right now, and it's a lot of PDFs, and I'll link it in the show notes purely because I don't, the last thing I need is for a cult to come and sue us. I don't want to be in that lawsuit. But they have a, it's like a list of stories. It's called Magical Short Stories. Because again, I'm like, what, how, I mean, as a parent, it is difficult for me to be able to like communicate theological truths to a five-year-old in general. And there is a wealth of Christian resources. So I was like, what are they trying to communicate like to young children? And then how are they trying to communicate to young children? I just thought that was interesting. So,
is it unicorns? Are there unicorns?
There is a story about unicorn, and it very much is teaching that unicorns are real, which is fascinating, but that was not the story I was going to read. This is called, the Mother Earth's Crystal Schools, January 2022 curriculum, the Magical Short Stories document. Now, this has like 10 stories in it. I'm not going to read it.
No, I thought you said there was going to be a choice here.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So I can either read you the greatest love story of where you'll...
Which is just Mother Earth's
It's just is going to sound very familiar to you. Or we can read this Washington Post article on why millennials and Gen Z, the main factor of why millennials and Gen Z aren't getting married.
I would say let's skip Love Has Won.
No!
We can talk about it in general.
No!
So when it comes to Love Has Won, I think there are a lot of things that are interesting. Like coming up with the phrase, love has won. That's great because love has won.
Right.
It's Jesus.
Right. Okay. So I won't read the story, but I just want to tell you, this story is like, it's like fan fiction of the Bible, but they've just like picked the things they like of the Bible and then they've put their own spin on it in like the most fascinating way possible. Like literally this is the story of creation, like from Genesis, except instead of God, it's Mother God. And then they have like the 144,000 chosen in here, which I'm like, how did the Jehovah's Witnesses get involved in this cult? I have absolutely no idea. Then you get your twin flames again. Anyway, fine. Yeah. We'll talk about it. But, oh, and then unicorns and fairies are making
unicorns and fairies.
Right. But it was just really interesting to me that it was.
What about the galactic guides?
The Galactics. So I went through this entire document, and there was nothing about the Galactics. So for those listening, the Galactics is essentially like spiritual guidance board of spiritual beings who were on Earth, who advised their cult leader. The number one top person being Robin Williams, who would bestow upon them important spiritual information and like battle plan situations. Yeah. But the Galactics are not mentioned in here at all.
Fair enough. So,
okay, fine.
Yeah. So when it comes to Love Has Won, I just think I feel sorry for them because to your point, everything sounds like they are seeking something and they know there is something greater out there.
Right.
And that greater thing is meant to bring love and peace and fulfillment. And we know that is Christ. And he has won. He has conquered all. And so it is already complete. We're just waiting for him to come back.
Right.
And I think where I get really, I don't know if frustrated is the right word, but where it just like starts to I mean, there's a lot of places where it loses me, but the spots where I'm just like, okay, I can't really have a conversation about this is because she goes from saying I'm Christ incarnate or reincarnate, and then she goes to I'm Pele, and she goes to the fifth dimension, and she is heavily intoxicated on multiple different things. And then she's weaving in things like, and I don't know where, but she's weaving in things like crystals and drinking different things and all of these, like
the colloidal
silver. And those things are, it's completely different from religion. And so it's like,
how so?
Because that is a, when you talk about things like colloidal silver and crystals and the in one or two of the scenes they had the ringing bell bowls and like,
oh, the vibrations. Music,
vibration therapy. And those are, I'm forgetting the right term, but it's like it is a pseudoscience that is based on physical hypotheses that may not be testable. So like the idea of vibrations, you are talking about something that is physically moving, and those vibrations impact your body in a tangible way.
Right.
I get that. Like I can see the concept. Now getting to a point where you can test it is hard. And the same with crystals. The idea that crystals are a physical mass that either absorb or release energy depending on sunlight hitting them and all of these things. Like that is, it, when you get down to like the basics, like conceptually, yes, it is physical. It does get hit by sun. That sun does react and move in a different way. How that impacts your body is untestable. Maybe. I would argue that it's untestable. So those are like, those are conceptual, physical, science-y things that could then say, okay, this is new age medicine.
Right.
Versus God has come, he has died for all of the sins of the world, and those are sins require a payment because you are physically going against God, and Jesus has paid for all of those sins. And now you can either accept that or you can't. And that leads to you either worshiping Christ or not. That is to me a, it's like that. I feel that, I don't know where I'm going with that, but well, it's different.
Right. But where I would push back on you is that many people look at what you just said and say the exact same thing you just said about the cult. They'll say, that is not science. That is not testable. And so therefore I have no interest in it. So what's the difference? I mean, obviously the difference is we believe what we believe is true, but there are aspects of our religion that are not testable. Like you cannot take science and test metaphysical things.
True.
And that's what they would argue right back at you.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I just think it is a I think there's a different level of and different, I feel like there's a different meaning behind it.
Well, yeah, because yeah, they're different religions.
And I think it, maybe that's where I'm getting at is the meaning and the purpose and the why behind creation and what God has done and why Jesus came and lived a perfect life and died for everybody's sins. That in itself is answering a why question, a what and how and more fixing or solving your body's issues. To me is more of a like application question.
Right.
And so I feel like they were getting mixed, but not mixed in a clear way for me, right, which right. maybe, and I will gladly say, maybe this is all the documentarian's fault on not making that clear. Because obviously, like, we read our Bibles and we are supposed to sit and meditate on God's word. And in that tangible application-based way, the goal is that we would know God more and grow closer to right. him. And in that way, be able to share his love
right.
in a more direct way.
Well, you, like, it makes me think too, and where I'm coming from for this is that, like, there are, as I've gotten older and as I've, like, gotten outside of just strictly Christian circles, that's when you start to realize, like, hey, like, the things that we say and the, like, the Christianese that we speak can be very confusing, if not just crazy sounding to other people. For example, like, last week at BSF, we were talking about where Jesus in John chapter 6 or 7 is talking about, like, he basically explaining like the blood of Christ and like the bread, what is what yeah. turns into the Eucharist or turns into yeah. communion. That's crazy. And so, like, there are people that are not familiar with, you know, theology or Christianese or whatever, or coming from a different background. And if you tell them that, like, depending on what denomination, like, every Sunday I eat the bread of Christ and drink the blood of Christ, and Catholics believe that the Eucharist physically changes into Christ's flesh and blood upon being blessed by the priest. That sounds absolutely crazy to people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so from that regard, I mean, I get it. Hear me say this. I am not saying this cult is crazy. Like, I think it's crazy. But it's a fun thought experiment for me to kind of take a step back. And maybe this is more of, like, an empathetic thing of, like, hey, like, let's not bash other people's beliefs. Let's, like, come meet them where they're at. Because it's a lot of things that we believe also can sound crazy. We're not rubbing crystals all over our bodies, but.
Well, speak for yourself. But the
Joe, don't tell them about our private time.
Yeah, it's not because I think they have healing powers.
I don't know what you're saying.
I know it. It's gone.
I'll cut it all out. Don't you worry.
Anyway. Yeah. So when it comes to Love Is One, I just don't even know where to start. I feel like Love Is One is like a 4-episode series on us just talking through it and breaking it down. And, like, you know, it requires a deep dive.
Right. Hence why I deep dove into this.
Yeah. It requires a deep dive.
Which is unrelated to that specific cult, by the way. This is a separate organization.
Yeah. Yeah. It requires a totally different investigative journalism
right. Dig
in.
And this will be the last thing I say before we move off, since you obviously don't want to talk about it.
We can talk about it next time, except next time is going to be a 4-part series.
Oh, God.
We'll have to rewatch the show.
Do you know what fan fiction is? I know it's a dumb question, but
yeah, I've heard of fiction.
Okay, so fan fiction is like where, like, you take, like, canon of stories. So, like, Harry Potter has really popular fan fiction, like Lord of the Rings, something that is, like, set, like, a well-established, like, fandom, and then you, like spin off
the Bible.
And what I feel like, a lot of the new agey stuff is, like, when you look at their core, like, desires and beliefs and what their end game is, to me it just seems like fan fiction of the Bible. Like, things like the New Age metaphysical philosophy would not exist without Christianity. Like, the core tenets of it are Christianity. It's just they've stripped away the Christianity stuff and then they've added Robin Williams and John Lennon being Ashtar and starships into it. So I just think it's, like, a funny
starships.
Like, people, we got a little bit too. It's like it's somebody's class English essay got a little bit out of control. Anyway.
Yep. Yeah, and I think it would be fascinating to sit here and really dive in, but not tonight.
Not tonight. Not on But Here We Go Light?
No, not on But Here We Go Light.
Well, I'm trying to pull up this article.
What's the other article? Tell me what it is. Tell me the article.
Okay, I'll just read it off my phone.
What's the article? Tell me.
It says, this is from the Washington Post.
Never heard of them.
The title says, if attitudes don't shift, a political dating mismatch will threaten marriage.
Political dating mismatch. Which,
now, I saw a TikTok person talking about this, and I wasn't originally going to bring it on here because
TikTok.
We've talked about this before, like a year or so ago.
Talked about it before.
There was an article that was essentially saying that, oh, except it was a Christian article. It was like in Christianity Today or something, or I heard it on a podcast that people, right, parents would rather their child date, Christian parents would rather their child date a non-believer than a Christian of a different political party.
Yeah. And yeah,
we thought that was interesting.
Yes, very,
very strange that they would put political identity ahead of religious affiliation. So anyway, so I dug into the article. I was like, this is essentially saying the same thing. So like secular article plus religious article are confirming this, except this has a ton of data.
Bum, bum, bum.
But let me see. So it's essentially just talking, obviously we all know polarization is really crazy right now. It's, you know, divisions getting intense, et cetera, et cetera. So this is saying, okay, I'm just going to read this paragraph. The problem with polarization, though, is that it has effects well beyond the political realm, and these can be difficult to anticipate. One example is the collapse of American marriage. A growing number of young women are discovering that they can't find suitable male partners. As a whole, men are increasingly struggling with or suffering from higher unemployment, lower rates of educational attainment, more drug addiction and deaths of despair, and generally less purpose and direction in their lives. But it's not just that. There's a growing ideological divide, too. Since President Trump's election in 2016, the percentage of single women ages 18 to 30 who identify as liberal shot up, while slightly over 20% to 32. Oh, yeah, sorry. It went from 20 to 32%. Young men have not followed suit. If anything, they've gone the opposite. Young men in the same age bracket have gone significantly more conservative. So women, like Gen Z women are going liberal. Gen Z men are going more conservative. It says the ideological gap is particularly pronounced among Gen Z white people. According to a major new American Enterprise Institute survey, 46% of white Gen Z women are liberal compared to only 20% of white Gen Z men, more of whom now identify conservatives. A 2021 survey of college students found that 71% of Democrats would not date someone with opposing views. Long story short, is this it? Because I can think off my head multiple people I know right now who are in marriages of one spouse votes differently than the other spouse.
Really?
But they're all older.
Oh.
Like they're not our age. They're probably like Gen X or above.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone.
Boomers.
I don't know anyone our age who is in a marriage where the spouses vote differently.
I don't know anybody our age who is in a marriage.
That's not true. Well, as I was saying this sentence, I was also thinking to myself, I'm not entirely convinced I know how everybody votes, so I can't really say that with full confidence.
I don't know any single people.
That is that's true, because all my friends, it's my friends. You don't have any friends right now.
Yeah.
If
we knew any single males
single males.
If we had single males on our friend roster, we would be playing matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match.
That's not okay. To your point,
that's what we would be doing.
I know we are friends with one male who is not in a relationship or married. However, I have a lot of single female friends. So to your point, yes, we've talked about that, to where I would love nothing more than to like start matchmaking people, but we don't have enough to match me.
Yeah. If you know single males who are looking for matches,
Here We Go Dating Show.
You can add them. You can like connect them to us.
We'll vet them.
We'll become friends with them, and then we will find them a match.
You know what? You find that guy. You send him to us. We will strategically like create apparent rendezvous and be like, oh my God, have you met our friend so-and-so?
We will charge nobody nothing.
No, we only require
$0, but
an invite to your wedding.
But, yeah, invite to the wedding.
For sure.
You have to play Party Rock Anthem. You have to play Footloose.
Yes. Yeah. And you, allow us to do our line dance.
You have to let us dance.
Yes. Required. And first dibs at wedding cake.
And we are going to talk about you on the podcast.
Yes. We have to have y'all on the podcast as a couple. We'll interview you
at least once.
Right.
Anybody who we may or may not be mentoring right now, don't get offended that we're trying to invite new mentee couples.
The last thing we require is in your wedding, like not playbill, I'm a theater kid, the little wedding thing that you get passed to you, like when you're sitting in the audience for, again, theater kid lingo, we require a But Here We Go logo sponsorship.
this marriage is sponsored by the But Here We Go podcast
with a QR code linking
to the podcast.
To the podcast, right. So obviously, honestly, it's free at that point. What could you?
It doesn't cost anything. But getting back to the article, I think it's one of those interesting things because previously, I feel like talking about politics was taboo. So
right.
That's like one of the phrases, like. The only things you can't talk about at the dinner table are
religion and politics.
But now it's almost like you wear your politics on your sleeve as a badge of honor, and therefore you don't interact with anybody from differing political views, which ultimately just ends up creating chasms like this. It creates echo chambers. And then you end up with this dating and marriage disparity. But I struggle with it as well, because if you think about the 50s when nobody talked about politics, yeah, you could end up with a liberal married to a conservative. But even if they talked about it, I feel like the divorce rate was much lower, in which case people, even if they didn't want to be in that relationship, they would never get divorced.
Right. I think there are two things I want to say. One, to your point, for whatever reason, I'm sure social media has to be a player in this, but in 2023, we feel like it is our duty to virtue signal what our political beliefs are. And so, honestly,
if those are the savior of the world.
Right, right. But, like, people put it in their, like, Instagram bios. And by saying,
die hard liberal.
Well, they may not put, like, I vote Democrat, but they'll put, like phrases like, you know, like, back the blue or Black Lives Matter. Or just, like, little phrases like that that you, like, just with one phrase, you know where they fall on the spectrum. Which
I'm going to add donkey for life to mine. Just, like, that one is so confusing. Like, what are you? Are you a Democrat?
But also put like a donkey emoji.
Are you a Shrek fan? Are you just a real jerk? And you're saying that you're an ass? Like, yeah, I'm a jackass and I'm proud of it.
Honestly, put that in your Instagram bio tomorrow and then we'll study it.
What do you
do? It can be science. See what happens.
Donkey for life. It's like, ooh.
That's so funny. So there's that. But then two, with that saying, and obviously divorce rates are higher now, I don't think political affiliation was so much a part of your identity back 50, 60 years ago as it is today. Because today, both players on either side are using like the they're using fear mongering, obviously, but they're basically saying if you vote for the other party, you're evil.
It will be the end of the world.
And it will be the end of the world. And both red and blue are both saying that about each other. And so it's like, if you belong to one of those groups and you're dehumanizing the other group, that makes perfect sense to me why you wouldn't want to get married to someone who you feel like is less of a human than you are.
Yeah.
Or if, you know, an evil person.
Yeah.
And I don't think we were using that language, or if we were having politics carry that weight to this degree back in the earlier half of the century.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that's the hard part.
But also to push back against this article, and I have not read it all, so I'll finish reading it. But surely the liberal women could just go find liberal husbands, and the conservative women could just go find conservative husbands, right? Or I guess they were saying there's not enough.
Yeah. And
is that why polyamory is so high right now? I mean, the numbers.
Yeah, you just, there's only one guy for every three women.
Right. There
so
you go.
Like liberals got to be willing to share. I think it's an interesting thought that it is that, that dichotomy. But I also wonder from that side as well. Traditionally speaking, and maybe I'm talking ignorantly here, but traditionally speaking, LGBTQ plus are liberal.
I think, yes, statistically they would.
Statistically, yes. They would fall more liberal.
Not always, but yes.
And so with the number of single females increasing on the liberal side, are there also in general less straight males? So that number of whatever percentage being liberal, how many of that is also decreased as well because of
an
increase in non-straight
right
individuals?
I mean, that would make sense. The dating pool is just smaller.
So that further perpetuates the problem.
Right. But what solves, in our very, we don't have a lot of time left. What do you think solves the problem?
Like, a new podcast.
I know.
A new podcast by Joe Battier called Meeting in the Middle. God.
I love how I was somehow annexed out of that new podcast, but thank you so much. I really appreciate being.
It's all about energy transition and how
in political
how
unity.
Solving the energy transition problem leads to more babies.
Are you saying that we just
better lives?
Ben and Jerry's will produce more marriages and babies.
If we solve climate change, we solve the world.
I mean, in some ways, yes.
But hasn't Jesus already solved the world?
It's true. It's true.
But to be a little bit more serious, I don't know what the solution is. You could try and talk to people, but when people have their... When you are stuck in an echo chamber,
right,
you are going to have your talking points.
Right.
You aren't going to know how to critically think and converse and be willing to concede any points.
That's like, yeah, cognitive dissonance. Like any truth that they tell you on the other side, your brain will work for you to make them sound unbelievable.
And so you have a real challenge because if your thoughts and your beliefs are being challenged and you have to rethink any part of that because of what somebody else is saying and because of what they agree and think about, then it's a whole lot easier to just not interact with them.
Right.
And that's kind of where we're at.
Right.
And I think that's...
And definitely not
potentially them. Where we're going to... Yeah, of course you're not going to marry them.
Yeah, I just see a lot of like, we got to end it. I just see like a lot of like surrogates or like single people raising children.
I'd be
or like adopting, like you're seeing that more like women who are adopting or doing surrogates without a partner.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see how that goes.
I'd be curious too. We won't know.
I would love for more people to adopt. And
honestly, I don't care who you are. Wouldn't that be great if there was like not. Any children,
because people are going to still keep putting out babies. It doesn't have to be you, but all of those babies need parents.
Or even a parent.
A parent, yeah. Parents, like, just in general.
Right, they need a
loving
home. They
need some type of parent. They need somebody older than them that can take care of them.
I mean, let's hopefully
preferably
significantly.
Preferably loving as well.
We got to go.
We got to go. I know we're running out of time, but...
Do you feel rushed? Do you feel like this should have been longer? Subscribe. Like below.
Hear
comment.
Everything.
Share.
We're going to have a fun series coming up all about love and how it has won.
No, we are not. There's no way.
There's going to be some cult talk. There's going to be some Jesus talk. It's going to be so exciting.
Oh, my gosh.
But as fast as we are running out of time and as fast as we are running out of this podcast, our sponsor runs faster. Our sponsor is Ferguson Cutting Horses. You may have noticed lately that I've been wearing a very fun, festive, very warm vest lately.
I was like, you have?
That vest says Ferguson Cutting Horses because they heard our podcast and they're like, you know what?
That's
We just love you so much, and we want people to see and hear about our horses, because what's better than listening to the But Here We Go podcast than listening to it while riding a cutting horse?
Like, well, let's end this and then you can tell me what a cutting horse is.
I don't know what a cutting horse is. Just, it says it. They don't actually sponsor us. I don't actually even know who Ferguson Cutting Horses is, but if you're in the market for a cutting horse, go check them out. With that, Batir, we're going to go. Bye-bye.